Whether the people of Warburra like it or not, Eyretown has become a high-profile test case, synonymous with wind farms. They even have an anti-wind farm lobby group named after them. So, 3 years on, there are still claims and counterclaims over the Warburra Wind Farm, which was once the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. Brett Wickham is the Director of Operations at Acciona Energy, the company that runs the wind farm. And Doug Hobson's with us as well. He lives in Warburra and hosts Eight Turbines. Doug, Brett, good morning.
Good morning, Prue. Thanks for having me.
Morning, Prue.
It's been a little while since we spoke, Brett, about the wind farm. I know that there was a lot of controversy to start with, and over the first couple of years, things seem to have settled a little bit. However, there are still some questions over compliance of the Warburra wind farm, and we're talking audible noise here. Is the wind farm compliant at this point?
Yes. We submitted a report in, I think it was October 2010 to the planning minister just after the election, and our independent organisation that did the analysis, our post-construction noise monitoring, the report stated that we were compliant with the 1998 New Zealand standards, which are the standards that our planning permit was to comply with. Now, since then, I guess with the change of election and a new government coming in, there's been some additional work the government has requested us to do, and that's still going on at the moment. So we will be doing some more monitoring out on the farm, the wind farm, in over the coming maybe 6 to 9 months to actually provide some further information to the government. But I think it's interesting to note that the planning minister said a number of weeks ago, I think it was on the ABC, that for all intents and purposes, from his perspective, the wind farm was compliant. So
there are some independent reports to suggest that the wind farm isn't compliant, particularly in the wee small hours of the morning when people are trying to get some sleep. And I've read some documentation to say that the turbines are roaring at certain times of the day, and that is not compliant with the 1998 standard. Have you seen those reports yourself?
No, there's been lots of media over the last couple of weeks about various reports that have been out, that have been published and provided to lots of organisations, but funnily enough, none have been provided to us. So I guess, we would love to be able to review those reports and have a look at them. We have tried to gain access to them, and I guess it's probably a bit reflective of the fact that us as an organisation have compliance standards we must stick to. They're public. Very public information that we must put in. You know, people can FOI all our reports through the government, and we've provided our reports to individual landowners who we've conducted noise monitoring on. But I guess the counter-argument to that is all these reports that say we're not compliant, none of us have received any copies of them, and we have not been able to interrogate them at all. So
I understand that the planning department, has several independent or private reports that have been sent to them. I tried to get in touch with the planning department yesterday to see where they're up to. I haven't heard back from them as yet, so I'm still just waiting for a call from the planning department. And you're quite right, Matthew Guy did say that he was quite willing to turn off turbines if it was proven to be non-compliant.
Yep.
If that is the case, though, would you stand by that decision?
To turn off turbines? Mm. Look, I think there's a long way through the planning permit that you have to walk through before any kind of decision to turn off turbines would ever be, done by the minister. I mean, our planning permit clearly states that we have to go through a process of showing whether they're compliant. If it's shown through either the department or us that the turbines are not compliant, we then are given an opportunity to actually put in adjustments to the turbines to ensure that either overnight or during the times when they're considered to be non-compliant, we get given the opportunity to make them compliant. If then, through even further processes, we cannot make them compliant, then it starts to bring into the point that the minister can say you have to shut the turbines down. So I guess there's an awfully long journey that you have to go down before you would even consider that sort of action. But as I said, the report that we submitted, the public report, which is in response to the 1998 standards, shows that the wind farm is compliant.
There's always going to be that criticism, though, that the noise monitoring that Acciona has done is being paid for by Acciona and therefore isn't independent. What do you say to that?
Well, I say to that it's being done by an independent organisation. So, that organisation and its integrity is what it makes money on, and it contracts to lots and lots of different companies around Australia. I would also say that the process we went through to interpret our compliance with our permit was agreed with DPZD up front. So the process we were to go through, the methodology to be used in accordance with the 1990 standard was agreed up front. We've done our pre-construction monitoring, we've done our post-construction monitoring, we've submitted our report. So, and we will continue to work with the government and do any other further monitoring that they require.
How do you account for the fact, though, that the monitoring in some places, some of this independent monitoring that's also being done by some landholders in Warburra is turning up different results?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what monitoring they've used. I haven't been given access to the data. As I said, we don't know what on what basis they've used. I can't really make a comment. Suffice to say that, it's like statistics. You can interpret lots and lots of things into various things, and without being able to interrogate the reports and analyse the processes they've used, I couldn't really make a comment.
Brett Wickham is with us. He's the Director of Director of Operations for Acciona Energy. Also with us is Doug Hobson, who hosts 8 Turbines in Warburra. Doug, good morning, and thank you for coming in this morning. You're part of the Wind Farm Festival, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct, Prue. There, we've got our third festival coming up on the 6th of October, Saturday, from 10 till 4. We've had 2 festivals previously, and they've been really well attended there, so it's a good family day out. We have a free bus from Ballarat to Warburra running on the day, and also kids' rides, rock climbing wall, animal farm, face painting. We've got musical entertainment on the stage from the Marnie Brothers. We have a wide variety of stalls and local produce. We are still taking more store holders because we do want to get some new and more different ones on the day. Also, the Horticulture Society is putting on a horticulture display, sheep shearing and wool spinning as well, photo competition of local area. It's always well attended, and a lot of good photos. Devonshire teas and barbecues from the Lions Club, a free bus tour of the wind farm. I think the last 2 times we've had that, Acciona has taken bus tours around to give people a close and personal look up at the wind towers themselves, so they can make their own decisions on what they think of them. I think the first time around we had about 500 people that day take the opportunity to have a look at the towers, and about 400 on a second festival. Little Athletics is also putting on a 100 metre foot race for prize money as well there too, so it's a good family day out and inexpensive, and once you pay your entry to get in the gate, all your kids' entertainment is for free, so it is a good family day out and gets everybody from the local and wider community to have a look and opportunity to see Warburra itself and also the wind towers firsthand.
Doug, as a member of the Warburra community, and obviously you're a very active member of the community, what sense do you get of the current state of play with the different sides of the debate? Do you think that there is a case to answer for the wind farm and for compliance, noise, those sorts of things?
Probably overall, the wider community is in favour of it there. There is people there that are still saying they're having troubles. I can't speak solely for them because they have their own issues as far as what they think is happening there. I can only speak on my half there, and we work around the wind towers on a daily basis there. A lot of times we're working up close near them, whether we're doing maintenance on certain bits of machinery or irrigation motors, or even a lot of times when we are actually cropping and other stuff, we set a lot of our machinery up under the wind turbines on the hard stands, and we don't have any adverse effects ourselves there. So I can only speak for myself there. Probably at my age, I'm just around the 50 age mark, I'm probably only going to be here for another 30 years. So if I was having trouble with the wind towers, even though I'm getting a monetary gain from them, I would be yelling very loudly, and I'm not having any troubles at all myself. So I can only speak on my half. But overall, the wider community seems to be in favour, but there is still people there that are having troubles in their area, they think, but the wider community, as far as I can see it, isn't having any troubles at all.
Do you ever hear the wind turbines? Are they noisy?
Where I live, I'm probably 3 kilometres from my closest one, so no, I can't hear them at all. When I'm around working near them, you can hear a slight noise, say if you're up close on a calmer day. On a windier day, the other generated noise between the wind that's around you sort of negates any side of that there. So no, nothing that's negligible that isn't just a normal background noise.
Can I come back to you, Brett? Mm. Because one of the criticisms of Acciona that's come up is your dealings with people in the community. And obviously you do have people who are supportive of the wind farm, but you also have people who are vocally opposed to the wind farm. There's a criticism that Acciona has not dealt very well with the general public from the beginning and currently is trying to catch up. Do you accept that?
Oh, look, I think, you know, I think companies like ourselves can always do more. You know, we do have a dedicated community relations staff. We have a dedicated team on site. So there's 30 people that work on the Warbler Wind Farm on a daily basis. We have a Warbler Wind Farm website. We have a community issues line, so anyone can ring up any time. So there's a number of different forums that people can raise issues about the wind farm. We have a dedicated complaints process. So whether it be noise, traffic, dust, TV, don't ever mess with people's TV reception because that's a real issue that we have to manage because of the towers. So we have a dedicated process. Could we do more? I think we can always do more. I mean, to put it in context, there's about 180 families that live within the footprint of the wind farm. So since we started operating, there's been 15 households that have raised issues about the wind farm and more particularly about noise. Of those 15, we believe that about 8-9 of them have been resolved. So we've gone in and talked, we've done noise monitoring. So we have about 6 outstanding issues from households. And there's been no new households or families that have made complaints about noise since early 2011. So that does give you some context that there are people who don't like the wind farm. They are a very small minority out there. And just like any other infrastructure project, I think you will have some people who will just not accept that they're there and that we need to continue to engage with. I could show you our complaints management system, and we have documented evidence for all the people who've raised issues that we've met, had meetings with, talked to, tried to offer, further assistance through, having independent experts explain the noise stuff to them. But some of them, I think that Doug and I were talking before, that some people, as with any other infrastructure project, in 20 years' time will still have issues with the wind farm.
Just had a text in here from Anne. Why have many people vacated their homes, she says, not just Warbler, Cape Bridgewater, Toora, Glen Thompson, many in South Australia as well. She goes on to say that the Warbler Foundation is not anti-wind farm. They just want studies into health impacts as recommended by the Senate inquiry. Just on that first part, people have vacated their homes and very publicly so.
Yeah, there's been a couple of people vacate their homes at Warbler, and I can't comment on why they've vacated their homes for whatever reason. We've also heard that some of those people have actually returned to their homes, so I'm not sure why they've vacated.
People wouldn't leave their homes, though, and have to move to another place and incur debts if something significant wasn't going on, though, wouldn't they?
I can't comment on why people are leaving their homes. I think there's some people who genuinely believe themselves that turbines will make them sick. I don't believe that turbines make people sick at all. I don't think there's any evidence anywhere in the world that indicates that. But some people will truly believe that. So if you have strong enough beliefs, then you will probably make decisions in your life where you will move and so forth. Again, we don't believe that turbines make people sick. There's no properly peer-reviewed information anywhere in the world, and the NIH and MRC have agreed to that. So, and we're happy to do more studies to prove that. It's just that we want them done by an independent organisation under the right independent peer-reviewed goals and objectives and so forth, so that it can be done in a proper manner.
That seems to be the sticking point, though, that nobody can agree on who's independent enough to undertake these studies.
Well, we'll continue, whether it be universities or whether it be NIH and MRC or someone that can do that, then Acciona is not against that. As long as it's done, I wouldn't say that the Warbler Foundation is the best organisation to be actually doing that.
Doug, just back to you as a local landholder, as a local in Warbler, and being a part of a community that has over the last few years had its ups and downs. Has it affected the community overall, do you think? Has it strengthened it? Has it weakened it? What's your assessment?
I think overall it hasn't made a heck of a lot of difference there. There's a small number of people there which state themselves have got problems there, but the larger part of the community does actually support the wind farm because of its actual monetary input, partially, probably, and the other part is too, because we do all realise that we do have to generate power in other, some other sort of way other than coal. So it was probably the opportune place to put a wind farm because of its height and also its wind catching capacity. But I think overall the community that I deal with are supportive of the project and probably are looking to see that a lot of these studies and the rest do come through and get a final outcome in one way or the other, just so as though they can put a lot of these people's minds at rest that it is actually up to standard and where it should be. But overall, I'm sure the community that I deal with are supportive of it.
Do you think there should be some sort of independent study into health effects?
I think if it's needed there, yes, to allay a lot of people's fears, it should actually come through. It's just a matter of how you structure it. And I think even when you do actually have the study done, there is still going to be one side that's going to say, well, it's right, and the other side's going to say, well, if I don't agree with it, we should get some other study done. So I think this is going to be ongoing overall, but it would be nice to get some sort of a clarity and end to it, but I can't see that happening in the short term because there's people that are going to feel aggrieved either way.
It's 24 past nine. With me in the studio is Doug Hobson, who's a Warbra resident, and also Brett Wickham, who's the Director of Operations at Acciona Energy. Doug just mentioned the renewable energy side of this, and it often seems to fall away in the debate. What sort of proof do you have that the Warbra wind farm is generating enough energy to prove its worth?
Well, it pays for itself for a start. I mean, these are very heavily geared projects, so we need to make sure that they are producing enough power to pay for themselves. I mean, yesterday at Warbra we produced 2,280 megawatt hours for the day. The day before, because it was really windy, the day before it was about 4,000 megawatt hours for the day. Overall, last year we produced about 600 gigawatt hours for the year. So again, that's enough to power Ballarat and it's the areas around Ballarat, sort of. So we are producing real energy, and we are actually trying to provide more information about that. Only yesterday I had a meeting to be able to provide live feeds of what generation is the output of Warbra. So we can actually have an iPhone app, so we can be completely open with the public. So we're trying to actually do that at the moment. We can put it in the Warbra General Store. We can put it on the ABC website. We can, wherever we want to put it, we can do that to provide people more information to try and demystify the people who say these things don't generate power, because they do. I mean, last year we would have generated somewhere in the order, as I said, 600 gigawatt hours for the year. So,
do you feel that you have state government support for your project and any other projects that you might be trying to get up in Victoria?
Well, we've got three other projects that are approved to build in Victoria. Mount Gellibrand, Mortlake and Berrimal all have planning permits, and we've actually commenced construction down at Mount Gellibrand. So, as far as that goes, yes, the state government are supportive. We've still got to go through all the normal planning processes, which they've got planning permits, getting development plans and going through all our secondary consents. But overall, I think the state government is supportive. I mean, obviously, the new laws they've made about 2K setbacks and so forth make it a little more difficult in Victoria, and that's honest, and a lot of the other developers feel the same way. But we can still work with our already approved projects to actually build more projects here in Victoria.
Gentlemen, we are out of time and we could talk about this all day, I'm sure, but thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Prue.
Doug Hobson, who is a Warbra resident, he hosts 8 turbines on his land, and Brett Wickham, who's the Director of Generation and Director of Operations for Acciona Energy. And just to remind you too, the Warbra Festival is on, Doug, actually, just remind me, what date is it on?
Saturday, October the 6th.
Okay, so at the moment you're still looking for people to enter into displays, are you?
Yep, more stallholders would be much appreciated, and just a wide variation of stalls, and it's a very good day out for people that want to avail themselves into on Saturday, October the 6th, from 10 till 4.